At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warmer from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two is going to be Sean Zerillo. He does tremendous work handicapping this great game of baseball over at Action Network. Also does a good job on the UFC front for those of you that are fight fans. He's going to be diving into how he evaluates these games a little bit earlier on during the season, just a little bit how his model works in terms of the way that he does model this great sport. We're going to be taking a look at a few games for Wednesday as well with him. So we've got a lot of fun out there and just how he's looking at some of these guys that he thinks are going to progress /regress. So gonna have a nice great chat with Sean in segment number two. In the final segment, gonna get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at @gden_41. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter /X questions today, but had a good day on the diamond on Tuesday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
We still have 5 teams in Major League Baseball that have yet to play an under. One of those is the San Francisco Giants. As for the Dodgers, they've actually now played 2 games that have landed on one run. In the last 2 seasons prior to this year, they had won 221 regular season games. Just 32 had fallen by one run. They win this game against San Francisco by a count of 5-4, as they did leave a good amount of men on base. They won 3 of 13 with men in scoring position, and Mookie Betts is on fire. 5 home runs in the first 8 games of the season. He's able to take Logan Webb deep, who he did not have it in this one. 5 runs surrendered in 3 2/3 innings. Credit to the Giants bullpen. It was actually not too bad. Ryan Walker gets 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Landon Rupp was able to come in, held down the 4-2 with scoreless innings, and Taylor Rogers, a scoreless inning of his own. And then for the San Francisco Giants, Ore Soler goes deep off of the bulk guy, Ryan Yarbrough. That is his first home run of the campaign for Yarbrough. Not necessarily the bulk appearance that he was looking for. 4 runs surrendered in 4 1/3 innings, but bullpen was pretty spectacular. Ryan Brazier is the opener, scoreless inning. Alex Vesey, a pair of outside the bullpen scoreless. And then Evan Phillips, Michael Grove, they combine for 3 scoreless innings. So we shall see if the Dodgers get back to multiple run wins. I do think so. And the St. Louis Cardinals, they're getting on their winning ways as well. Back-to-back wins for them. They take down the Slam Diego Padres. This by a count of 5-2 for the Padres. And this one had not the start that they were looking for out of Yu Darvish, who allows a home run to Wilson Contreras, his second home run in the campaign for Darvish. 3 runs surrendered over the course of 7 innings, and then from there, 2 runs, one of which earned, given up by Yuki Matsui, who did not record an out along the way. Wandy Peralta, Pedro Avila, they both landed a scoreless inning, but bigger thing for the Padres is 9 hits and just 2 runs off of them. They leave 8 men on base for St. Louis. Miles Mikolas did a solid job of keeping the contact, shall we say, a little bit more light. He only got 4 strikeouts in 6 innings, but 2 runs allowed along the way. Andrew Kittredge, Ryan Helsley, Giovanni Gallegos. They hold down the 4th. They all lend a scoreless inning, and lots of scoreless innings were lent by the Cleveland Guardians. 5-2, they're able to take down the Seattle Mariners. For the Mariners, they just were not able to get to Shane Bieber, who he did allow 6 hits, but punched out 9 in 6 scoreless innings. Eli Morgan, he did give up 2 runs in a 3rd of an inning, but Scott Barlow, Paravots out of the bullpen, and then Tyler Beattie, Emmanuel Clase, they were both able to supply a scoreless inning. And for Seattle, Luis Castillo, off to a rough start to the season, 10 hits, given up along with 4 runs in 5 2/3 innings, including a home run to Bo Naylor, his first home run season, so he nailed that one. Cody Bolton from there, he goes 1 2/3 innings scoreless, Colin Slater a scoreless inning, and Taylor Cicado gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and for Seattle, really costly in this one, the fact that they went 1 of 13 with men in scoring position. That was not terrific, to say the least. What has been terrific has been the offense of the Cincinnati Reds, as every one of their 5 games have went over the total. Same goes for the Phillies. Neither of these teams have played an under thus far this season, and the Phillies take it to the Cincinnati Reds 9-4 thanks to a 3 home run expose by Bryce Harper. He goes off of Graham Ashcraft twice, and then he had one off of Brent Suter as well. Brandon Marsh, he was able to throw in there a home run of his own, his second home run of the campaign, the Marsh home run. That one comes off of Buck Farmer, as it was just not a great night in general for the Reds pitching in general. For Ashcraft, actually not the world's worst start. He gives up 3 runs, 2 of which were earned in 6 innings, giving up a pair of home runs. It was really Brent Suter who started to give it up, who was good last year with the Rockies, but 5 runs, 4 of which were earned, given up in a 1/3 of an inning. Buck Farmer, he gives up his home run in 1 2/3 innings. And for the Cincinnati Reds, they do strand 6 men on base. They did a good job of getting to the super long reliever and Ricardo Pinto, who comes over from the KBO. Remember him from the old SK Wyverns. 4 innings pitched by him, 3 runs, 2 of which earned. And Spencer Turnbull, guy that has dealt with a lot of injuries the last few seasons, good start. 7 punch outs, 1 unearned run given up in 5 innings. So that's another over, and that's another W. How about the Kansas City Royals being able to get a win over the Baltimore Orioles? 4-1 the final, as Alec Marsh, 1 run surrendered in 7 innings. Very good start. Will Smith got jiggy with it. He and John Schreiber both supply a scoreless inning. And for Baltimore, Cole Irvin, not the start he was looking for. 4 run surrender over the course of 5 innings. From there, you had John Heasley provide 2 scoreless innings. Jacob Webb, Dylan Tate, they both supply a scoreless inning of their own. But damage had been done, and it's a Royals team that we shall see if they're going to be able to get a little bit more offense going. They're one of the few teams in the big leagues that have actually played more unders than overs, and there's one team in the big leagues right now that has yet to play an over, and that'd be the New York Yankees. Our DK Network write-a pick, by the way, that comes through. We're 5-2 to start out the season. Like to see that. The Diamondbacks shut down the Yankees. 7-0 the final for Zach Gallen. He goes out there, supplies 6 scoreless innings, did walk 3, have a few concerns with him after the workload they had a season ago, but certainly is in better form than Nestor Cortes, who gives up 3 runs in 5 innings, all coming in the first inning. From there, Victor Gonzalez gives up 2 runs in an inning, and then Jake Cousins, 2 runs, 1 of which earned, give it up in his 2 innings of work, as he allowed a home run to Christian Walker, 3rd home run in the campaign, and then Ben Jarvis, Ryan Thompson, Scott McGill, they are all able to give a scoreless inning, so the Diamondbacks, they find a way to be able to get the job done. The Houston Astros, they have not played a lot of overs either, just 1 over for them thus far this season. They fall to the Toronto Blue Jays by a count of 2-1 as Josh Hader, he's taken more losses this year than the Houston Astros have overs. He gives up 2 runs in his inning of work, tried to close it out, and instead he allowed a home run going deep off of him. Davis Schneider, his second home run of the campaign, as Jose Barrios, he gives up a solo home run in his 6 innings of work, as Jose Altuve took him deep, second home run of the season. But bullpen for the Toronto Blue Jays, down quite a few guys. They did a solid job. Chad Green along with Tim Mesa, goodbye for 2 scoreless innings. Yimi Garcia, a scoreless inning. And for the Houston Astros, they squander what was a very good start from Framber Valdez. 7 2/3 innings scoreless. He has really had his struggles. He had given up 3 plus runs in 6 straight starts. And Ryan Presley, and out of the bullpen scoreless. But our good friend and Mr. Hader, he is unable to hold down the fort. And the Colorado Rockies, they are not going to hold down the fort very much this season. They are 1-5, and they are looking quite hopeless. 12-2, the Chicago Cubs absolutely pile drive them. As for Kyle Freeland, he now has an ERA of 27 through 2 starts, gives up 7 runs in 3 1/3 innings, including a pair of home runs. Going deep off of him, You had Christopher Morel get home run number 2 of the campaign and C.A. Suzuki his first home run of the season. Then he had a pair of home runs off the bat of Garrett Cooper his first home run of the season. And then Cody Bellinger, he gets his first of the campaign. That comes off of the long reliever and Anthony Molina. Comes in for 3 innings, gives up 5 runs, including those 2 bombs. And Victor Vodnik, 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. The good news is you were able to get home run of the season for Michael Toglia. He goes deep off of Jose Quas after he came in following a really good start from Javier Assad. Assad, 6 scoreless innings. Quas gives up that home run, 2 runs in total over the course of 2 innings. And Luke Little, he was able to come up with a scoreless inning of his own. And I believe that he is going to be starting tomorrow as well. So that's going to be very interesting to take a look at. And the Braves, they are capable of losing games, and the White Sox are capable of winning games. White Sox off the schneid. They get their first win of the season. They've only played 1 over this far this season, by the way, and they take down the Atlanta Braves by a count of 3-2 as Garrett Crochet, buy stock now. He looked really good in this one. Gives up a solo home run over the course of 7 innings, going deep off of him, Marcell Ozuna, for his second home run season. He would then go deep off of Michael Kopech for his third home run season as Kopech. He gets 1 2/3 innings to be able to close out this game. Gives up a solo home run along the way. John Brown, a scoreless out of the bullpen himself, and Paul DeJong goes deep off of AJ Minter to be able to lift the White Sox to victory. Second home run in the campaign after Reynaldo Lopez, the former White Sox. Really good start. 1 run surrendered over the course of 6 innings. Minter gives up a solo home run in his inning of work, and then Pierce Johnson gives up a run in his inning of work as well. So White Sox are off the schneid. They got themselves a win, and the Boston Red Sox continue the losing tradition of the Oakland Triple A's. 5-4, the Red Sox are able to get this one in as it was not the start that Brian Bayo was looking for. 4 runs surrendered over the course of 5 innings, including a pair of home runs. J.J. Blade, Shea Langeliers were able to get their first home run in the campaign, but how about this Red Sox bullpen? 6 scoreless innings. Josh Winkowski, scoreless 10th and 11th inning. And then you had Isaiah Campbell, Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin, and Greg Weiser all lend a scoreless inning. Trevor Story in this one. He was able to provide a pair of RBIs for the Oakland A's. They had Alex Wood give up 3 runs over the course of 5 innings. And honestly, the bullpen didn't do bad. Austin Adams, along with Danny Jimenez, they both provided a scoreless inning. Mason Miller, why they don't have him starting, I have no idea. And why the Oakland A's are opting their best players down to AAA. Just absolutely deplorable. 2 scoreless innings, but TJ McFarland allows a run in. 2 outs out of the bullpen. Lucas Ursage, he gets an out of the bullpen. And then you had coming in the 11th inning, Mr. Spence. Mitch Spence, he gives up the unearned run that starts on second base. So the Red Sox are able to get the job done. They're able to get the win. And for Boston, they have been a little bit of an over team to begin the season themselves. 3 overs, 3 unders. And for Oakland, they've actually played 5 overs, so 1 under. And the Miami Marlins, they are still looking for their first win. They played all but one of their games to the over, and first under of the year did come on Tuesday, but they just weren't providing any offense. 3-1, the LA Angels, they find a way to get it done as Tyler Anderson. 7 scoreless innings. From there, you do have Luis Garcia give up a solo home run in the 9th inning as Brian De La Cruz gets his first home run of the campaign, but scoreless inning out of Matt Moore as well. And for the Miami Marlins, Asus Lazardo does give up 3 runs in 5 1/3 innings, and Brian Hoying, he was able to come in 3 2/3 innings scoreless, but the Miami Marlins bats, not a lot doing for them. Not a lot doing for the bats of the Minnesota Twins either. 3-2, the Milwaukee Brewers get it done. And for the Brewers, this is probably a team that you don't want to take too much on the run line. Very good pitching, not such great hitting, though. Christian Yelich is looking like peak Christian Yelich. Second home run in the campaign that comes off of Louis Varlin. And for Louis, he gives up 3 runs over the course of 4 innings before Jorge Alcala provides 2 scoreless innings. Jay Jackson, 2 scoreless innings of his own. And for Milwaukee, just 47 pitches for Jacob Junis, was dealing with some shoulder issues coming into the season, but gives up just 1 run along the way. He did have Elvis Pereiro give up a unearned run in 2 innings, but Joe Piamps, Hobie Milner, Abner Uribe, they all supply a scoreless inning to be able to get that one to the window. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, they get this one to the window. They take down the Walker Texas Rangers by a count of 5-2 as for the Rangers. 3 of 9 with men in scoring position, but no deep balls as Andrew Heaney, he gives up 1 earned run, but 3 runs in total over the course of 4 2/3 innings. He was hurt by a Jared Walsh fielding error. From there, you did have Yuri Rodriguez give up 2 runs in 1 2/3 innings, including a home run to Isak Paredes, second home run season before. He did get 2 outs out of the bullpen scoreless from 1 Jordan Latson for the Rays. Zach Eflin, pretty Eflin good. 1 run surrendered in 6 1/3 innings. He did have Pete Fairbanks allow a run in an inning, but Jason Adam, a scoreless inning. Colm Pouché was able to give you a scoreless pair of outs out of the bullpen as well. And if you're looking at the great game of baseball and what we're seeing trend-wise out there, it has been a very overwhelming start to the season. We did begin to get a few unders that came through yesterday, but as I said, if you're looking at the trends of Major League Baseball, the over has been your friend thus far, as right now you're staring at an over rate of 61%, 47 overs to 30 unders. Along the way, I believe that we've had 5 pushes as well, so do be mindful of that. Meanwhile, favorites, they have been off to a little bit of a rough start on the money line. 45 and 36, that's a 55.6% hit rate. Meanwhile, road teams are hitting at 59.8% straight up. They are 49 and 33 straight up, so that has been a wonder. And in case you were wondering from yesterday, we did see 8 unders, 4 overs, and a push. So first real day of unders in Major League Baseball on Tuesday, and that's what we are seeing trend-wise out there in this great game. And coming next, how about if we take a look at the slate for Wednesday, and how about if we just get some handicapping advice for how to take a look at things early on for the season with our good friend in Sean Zarillo over at Action Network. That's up next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and it's always great to be joined by this man, Sean Zarillo. He does great work over at Action Network. Take a look at two main beats. He does a tremendous job on the MLB front. Every game, every day, he's doing a tremendous job breaking all those down. And then on top of that, for those that are fight fans, he does a great job with his UFC projections over there as well. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at his first and last name, Sean Zarillo. That's Sean spelled S-E-A-N. Then the last name is Zerillo altogether. And Sean, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Greg, thank you for having me. Been a ton of run scoring early this year. Overs through yesterday were hitting at a 66% clip. Seems like it normalized a little bit better mix of over and unders. Actually seems like unders hit at a higher rate today, if anything. So may see this over-under trend start to neutralize a little bit as we get towards the top of the rotations, as a bunch of teams get their off day on Thursday. I think a lot of it so far has just had to do with tired bullpens pitching too much and getting lit up late.
And how much do you attribute to the rule changes that we saw for last season? Because typically coming into baseball seasons, I would target a lot of unders, but I noticed last year there was a big shift on the over first few weeks of the season, and thus far we've been seeing a lot of the same.
Yeah, so I think the main rule change this season is the pitch clock reduction from 20 seconds to 18 seconds with runners on base. And it does seem like it's really affecting the relief pitchers. And the stat that shows up that is the biggest difference in run scoring is strand rate. You know, joked a lot about maybe the balls being juiced based off of spring training data and whatnot. There is pretty firm evidence so far that that is not the case. If you look at drag rates on Baseball Savant, it's very evident that the baseballs are the same or flying the same as they were last year, especially in April. But the strand rate for relievers is down about 3 or 4%, and that's where the runs are coming in. You know, typically runners get stranded on base at about a 72% clip, so like 28% of runners who reach base score. The current strand rate in baseball is as low as it's been since Fangraphs has been tracking. It's about 1.5%, 2% lower than the next lowest year on record. So, keep an eye on that strand rate through the end of April. I think it very much has to do with this pitch clock, the reduction and time that relievers have to get these pitches off, especially when they're in high stress situations with runners on base. And I think that's why more runs are cashing in. And it may ultimately settle there. You know, this may just be how the game plays out going forward, but also this could just be an adjustment period. And these pitchers may eventually settle down and settle into it.
Yep, and that's what I chalked it up to a lot last year as well. These guys are not used to it. That's, as a result, put the hitters at a little bit more of an advantage, where typically in most seasons, you notice that pitchers would have a little bit more of an advantage this time of year. So certainly something to monitor, as Sean Zarillo, who does great work over at Action Network, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And how do you just go about handicapping early on this season? Because there's a lot of data-driven people, and two of us, we both do a great job taking a look at the numbers, taking a look at the splits, coming up with our own handicap. And I do think that this time of year can be a little bit tricky, because unlike in most parts of the season where you've got like 60 plus games of data, you're able to be like, all right, we've got like five starts at home, five starts on the road, things are normalized. We don't have that. We only have 2023 and earlier to be able to go off of. So just how do you try to parse through everything and come up with projections early on the season?
Yeah, you know, I actually find it more difficult to handicap as the season goes along, because you almost have to determine at what point the projections for the preseason no longer matter or matter less, and at what point you start factoring in the in-season data more aggressively, and then throughout the season, how you rate and weight those two things relative to one another. So early on, I think you mostly can just use, in the way I model, you know, running everything through a data model, I can take a really big sample of projection data and get a really big range of outcomes. I like outlier projections, right? I like projections that are particularly low or particularly high, because it gives me a wider range of outcomes. Some pitchers who project for a very small range, right? Their FIP projection is 3.8 to 3.85, and it's a very small range of outcomes. Where I look at projecting guys out for tomorrow's slate, a guy like Zach Thompson, he has a projected FIP range anywhere between 437 and 484, which is a huge range, a half run range in that potential outcome projection for a FIP. So I think using all of that preseason projection data, taking the range of outcomes, sort of averaging them out, or guys who I'm particularly low on, guys who I'm particularly high on, either using a more or less aggressive projection relative to what the average would be. That's kind of how I handicap at the start of the season. And then as I get stuff plus numbers for these pitchers, once we get a couple turns through the rotation, getting stuff plus numbers, seeing how guys' velocity and command is measuring compared to previous years. And Zach Thompson, a good example. I mean, his velo down a couple of miles an hour, Zach Gallen, his velocity down a couple of miles an hour. So stuff plus for both of those guys down, guys I'm targeting against, not only in terms of their next starts, but also going forward. And, you know, I want to get the readouts for Zach Gallen in terms of his start on Tuesday, but his velocity remained down about 1.3 miles an hour relative to previous levels. He ultimately ended up pitching well. We both watched the game. We saw a number of called strikes that he got outside of the zone. And I think it's a matter of time before Zach Gallen ends up getting hit pretty hard. So even though, you know, he has these good results to date, it means nothing to me. I'm going to be taking that pitch modeling data, which says how he should have pitched. I'm going to be taking those expected FIP results, which said how he should have pitched with those three walks, you know, and six strikeouts, which is going to reduce that performance a little bit and bring it closer to average. So yeah, taking an average of projections, looking for those outlier projections. And then as we get deeper into the season, I do think it gets a little more difficult just deciding what I want to use. You know, weighting that preseason projection against the in-season data can be difficult. And no matter what, I always like to have a preseason element in there. By playoff time, I still have some sort of a preseason projection in there, even if it's only weighted 10 or 20% towards the actual total of a player's value.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that with Zach Allen as well, someone that I was willing to trust in on Tuesday, but even I knew, all right, this is probably not going to be the Zach Allen that we saw last year. He threw more than 240 innings between the regular season and the postseason, more than any other player out there in baseball, just a big giant fade of Nestor Cortez, and he gave it up in the first inning, and from there the Yankees could not recover. So a yay verily there. But how do you take a look at someone like a Zach Allen that threw a career high in terms of innings? How do you take a look at some of these guys that maybe just overperformed a little bit last season? Because early on this season is where you're probably going to be able to find the most value on those guys that either went a little bit further than they should have last year, or perhaps performed above their skis a bit more than they should have in 2023.
It's really no different than guys I was kind of targeting against towards the end of last season, right? Like Charlie Morton outpitched his expected ERA by a full run last year. I think he finished at 364, and it was actually 464 was his expected mark, and no different really, you know, targeting against the Charlie Morton, who is clearly outperforming his underlying metrics towards the end of last season, but then also into this season. There's really no chance that Charlie Morton is going to improve drastically relative to what he showed last year. He's 40 years old. But a guy like Cole Reagans or something like that, who is clearly popping off in spring training, Tarik Skubal, clearly up a level in spring training. These are guys whose projections, I think, are underselling them currently. The range of outcomes on their projections, even the most aggressive projection, but the, you know, the lowest number of those projections, probably still higher than where I think they should actually be. So there is some manual adjustment that you have to take into it. You know, you really got to make decisions with regards to how you evaluate players. It's not just purely me running it through a model. There is some sort of nuance there and some manual decision-making that I can implement when I think, you know, players are severely over or under projected. But I try not to do that too much. I try to let the model basically spit out and tell me what to bet. And that process has generally worked over a number of years. So I try to trust the math, try to trust the model, because it does factor out my personal bias. But that said, you know, guys like Casey Mize, who coming off of Tommy John, completely revamped his pitch mix. Projections don't know that he completely revamped his pitch mix. It's taking projections that of results that he's previously put up, regressing them a little bit off of injury, and, you know, spitting them out for 2024. But I think there are manual adjustments that you do need to make to some players, and considering pitchers drive so much of the betting line, that is really where I focus the majority of my time.
And I always love this saying. It goes a little bit to college basketball. Eric Haslam, who does a great job being able to project the great game of college basketball, always says that statistics are just like evidence at a crime scene. Obviously, you've got to take it into account. Obviously, it bears a lot of weight. But at the same time, how you utilize that as well is always very important as well. So I always think that that's great to be able to do, like you were mentioning with Casey Mize, a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, a little bit harder to handicap than someone like, say, a Joe Musgrove, who we've seen him for many, many years. The data, it is there. As Sean Zerillo does great work over at Action Network, is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do want to get your thoughts on this game, because we did notice Christian Javier towards back half of last season. Well, it's not a great end for him last year, and he's going up against a guy in Chris Bassett that I found myself going against quite a bit last season, and he just didn't seem to pitch the same away from home rather than at home. Right now with Houston, they're about minus 135 to minus 142 favorites with a total pretty much across the board at an 8.5. How do you fall on this game? Because it's been a low-scoring series thus far, and for Javier, he looked much better in his first start against the Yankees, but he's had some recent struggles, and for Bassett, he hasn't looked fully comfortable in Toronto himself.
Yeah, there's actually no value for me on this game, neither on the side or the total. So I projected Houston at minus 130, minus 127 for the first half. I made the total 8.7. So if I were to get a plus money on an 8.5, I'd probably consider betting the over. But other than that, it's probably a stay away game for me. Christian Javier is a guy I was really high on coming into last season. He had that magic fastball 2 years ago, and he just seems to have lost it. I don't know if it's a mechanical issue or whatnot, but when you only have two pitches, if, you know, your mechanics goes off on those two pitches, suddenly you're a zero pitch guy. So I really want to like Javier, and he does seem like he's going to have days where he's very good and days where he's very bad, and don't really want to end up on the wrong side of that. But not a reason to force a play on that game if I don't project value. I think I'm pretty much in line with the market, but said plus money 8.5, I'd play the over.
Yep, and should be interesting to see if the total goes down a little bit after these two teams just were unable to get the bats going on both Monday and Tuesday. And I know you were mentioning Cole Ragans, and this is going to be a stiff test for him going on the road, facing off against the Baltimore Orioles in a little bit of a day game. Corbin Burns goes for the Orioles, and the money line for the Orioles is about minus 158 to minus 166 with a low total of 7.5. How do you evaluate this game? Just because with Cole Ragans, I'm right there with you. Loved him towards the back half of last season. The only fear that I would have betting on Cole Ragans is what the bullpen does after him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there is one reliever in that bullpen that I project for a sub 4-5. The Brewers have six relievers that I project for a sub 4-5. So the Brewers is the standard, or like the elite standard of where you would look to. For the Orioles, I have three guys in there and another guy, Siona Perez, who's at 4.03. So just shows you the differential of those two bullpens. I make the Orioles bullpen about a half run better. About minus 160 is where I have the Orioles projected for this game, 7.6. On the runs, there was some weird weather I saw for this one, because I mean, we have awful weather on the East Coast right now. It's raining all over New York. I don't know when the Mets are going to get a game in. 12-mile-an-hour winds blowing in from right field to Camden Yards, and temperatures in the mid-50s, but the rain is the concern. Like, if I'm betting an under here, I need to make sure that Ragans and Burns are pitching as long as I would expect them to pitch. This is one of those instances where I need to look at weather maps to make sure that this game starts and then doesn't get delayed halfway through. I know it's a 1 o'clock game. Should be easier to determine in looking at the weather radar whether I want to bet this under. But yeah, it's probably under or pass for me here. Maybe first five under or pass here, considering, you know, where I project the starters. And if I got a first five under four, I would imagine it's probably three and a half. But a first five under four would be the way I would likely lean blind.
Absolutely. And I'm not someone that takes a whole bunch of first fives, but I think the best way to be able to bet Cole Ragans this year might be on a lot of first fives, because I could see him very easily leave a lot of games after giving up like one run in six innings, something like that, and then having the schlubs out in the bullpen completely blow the game. I have big time fear with that with the Kansas City Royals this season. And I know you've got a lot that you're parsing through with regards to the board for Wednesday. So what are a few games that you're finding a little bit of value on? Because this is a little bit of a tougher board in which we're getting our second time around for most of these guys.
Yeah, just quick note on that that Orioles game. So there are some first five under four minus 115s out there. Like, I like that. There's also some 3.5 juice over, though, at minus 125. Would absolutely lay off the 3.5. But the four, maybe by the time this podcast drops, those are gone. But between me and you, that is absolutely the way I would look. A lot of times when these totals are 7.5 and you have two elite starters in there, they do like to open the first five total at 3.5. That's probably why I assumed it would be there. A little bit surprised to see four and not choose to like minus 125 or something. So I only have three bets so far overnight for Wednesday's slate. The first is the pitcher I mentioned before going against Zach Thompson. I mean, that velo down 2 miles an hour, the stuff plus dropping from 81 last season. And in that first start, he was at 59 against the Dodgers. So a huge drop in stuff plus. Even 81 is unacceptable. 100 is league average. But if you're an 81 stuff plus guy with good command, you can get by. If you're a 59 stuff plus, you can't do anything. Velo dropped at his slider, his curveball, and his fastball. Real concerns about Zach Thompson in terms of his health and also his effectiveness. And even though Joe Musgrove got lit up in his first couple of starts, he actually has shown higher stuff plus and pitching plus ratings than what he posted last season. Had that toe injury to start the last season, didn't pitch particularly well when he first came back, and then he got into a real groove. It's gotten hit a little bit hard to start this season, but his stuff plus, pitching plus, both higher than they were last year. 109 and 104 was at 106 and 102 respectively last season. So Musgrove, a guy you mentioned, you know, very consistent projections, pretty good read on him, very limited range of outcomes between 384 and 405, his expected range of FIP. So I like the Padres up to about minus 145 in the first half, projected them closer to minus 160. The other two bets I've placed, one is on the Brewers and Twins under. These offenses are just really inept. I saw you tweet out today that Twins are just a completely different team with Royce Lewis in the lineup. And even though like the math doesn't show that they should be, it just feels so dead without him in the middle of that lineup, especially with Byron Buxton just not hitting at all anymore. Like, Buxton is just very feast or famine. He either hits a home run or strikes out. So yeah, I don't like this Twins offense. The Brewers offense projects below average. The Brewers have the best offense in baseball. These are two good defensive teams. If you watched the game today, you saw a lot of really good defensive plays. And this Brewers bullpen, if you don't score on the Brewers by the sixth inning, the game is over. Like, that bullpen locks everybody down, and they don't even have their best pitcher potentially in Devin Williams. So like that under again at 8.5 minus 105, even though you have a couple guys and Joe Ross and Chris Paddock coming off of Tommy John. I think their results in spring training were both pretty encouraging. And then lastly, the Marlins, I think we're going to get a discount here. They've obviously been awful. But what they did, the way the Marlins season has gone, first off, they've thrown more innings. Their bullpen has thrown more innings than any other team except for the Padres and the Dodgers, who played the extra games in Korea. So their bullpen has worked a lot. They got into two extra inning games. And also the way their bullpen has been managed, they keep throwing their key relievers. They kept getting blown up. Ultimately, coming in, most of them had worked 3 and 5 days. Most of them had worked 2 and 3 days. They threw Brian Hoenig. They rested those key relievers. And now, finally, they have a rested bullpen with a day off the day after. So they can actually feel free to throw all of their key relievers behind A.J. Puck. You don't see value for the first 5 innings, but the Marlins do have a big bullpen advantage for me over the final 3 or 4 innings here. Like them at minus 115 or better. I know they played awful, but a lot of it had just been the dynamics of their bullpen rest, and it should be in good shape.
Yep, absolutely. And so glad that you mentioned that in the Twins versus Brewers game as well. To your point, I'm not bullish on this Twins lineup. I am certainly not bullish on the Brewers lineup. And that's a Brewers team that, for those that like run lines, yeah, probably don't want to be taking them very often. They're probably going to be playing a lot of 3-2, 4-3 sort of slogs where they're just getting really good pitching to be able to win by one run. I could easily see them being towards the top of the league in terms of one-run wins, but a man that always gets the job done and a man that does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game of baseball, that'd be you, Sean. I know you're doing tremendous work over at Action Network, both on the baseball front along with the UFC. So love the good people at home. Know it's on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
You gave out everything for me, which I appreciate in terms of the socials, but I will be writing Monday through Thursday slates this weekend, my opening pitch column on actionnetwork.com. You can find all of my bets for free in the Action Network app. And then Monday, Tuesday, Friday, new payoff pitch podcast episodes that you should go and check out after you listen to Greg's podcast.
Absolutely. Sean does a tremendous job projecting this game of baseball, taking a look at every game every day, much like myself, and being able to determine where the value is and is not. And every single time he joins this show, I feel like we get a little bit smarter. So big thanks to Sean for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this MLB Wednesday as we touch them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Sean Zirill. He does great work over at Action Network, taking a look on two main fronts, the great game of baseball, and then does great work in the octagon for the UFC. Every time he joins the show, lends really good insights, does an incredible job taking a look at and handicapping the game of baseball daily, much like myself, so it is always appreciated to get him aboard. Big thanks to Sean for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GNN_D1, and we're going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first in time order, then the American League games in time order, and then any interleague games. Those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So let's get things started with 901-902 on the betting board. It is the Philadelphia Phillies, and they're going to be playing us the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and they're on to one Frankie Montas getting the start for them, and Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler is on the bump for the Phillies, and Phillies are between minus 180 to minus 192 favorites, and you're getting between plus 160 and plus 166 on the red leg. 7.5 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 115. Under is between minus 105 to minus 110. Plus 165 was my buy point on the Cincinnati Reds, so we are just barely within my buy point, but I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Cincinnati Reds. Now, with Frankie Montas, you do have to have a little bit of a fear of him giving up some hard contact. As for Frankie Montas, I did notice during the spring that was a bit of an issue for him, but looks like he's getting back somewhat to being the Frankie Montas of old. He's not quite there yet, but for the start of the season, granted it was against the Washington Nationals, went out there and he was able to shove relatively well. 6 scoreless innings, punched out 4, so that is a very encouraging sign. Throughout his career, he's been more of a 9.3, 9.4 strikeout per 9-inning pitcher, so we'll see if he's able to get back to those levels, but I thought that that was a very good place to start, and he goes up against someone in Zach Wheeler that performed very well in his first start as well. 6 scoreless innings against the Atlanta Braves. You can't do much more there. And then the bullpen made like a buddy at the bar and could not close. But I will say this for Zach Wheeler, just throughout his career, he's had struggles in the months of April and March. Between April and March starts throughout his career, and he's made 36 in total, by far his highest ERA of any month, right around a 4.18. He had a 3.89 ERA in the month of June. All of his other months, if you look at splits, 3.54 or less in terms of that ERA. So you do have some concern there, and I've just noticed this time and time again. I don't know how, and I don't know why, but feels like that Phillies bullpen just always gets off to a relatively rough start. This is a Phillies unit that has Sir Anthony Dominguez, along with Jose Alvarado, having their issues begin the season. Connor Brogdon has been able to have those as well. And I think that once you get out of the first month of the season, this is actually going to be a pretty trustworthy unit with the likes of Gregory Soto and company. But I just feel like the Reds are in a little bit of better form right now. With the Reds, you've got guys like TJ Antone, Lucas Sims, a pair of guys that I do like in that bullpen. Alexis Diaz is a nice lockdown closer. Heck, Buck Farmer is able to give you some good innings. And for the Reds, it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to stay consistent or not, but I do like this lineup. Lots of young talent. They're going to rack up their strikeouts, but Ellie De La Cruz, Christian Encarnacion, and Strand, these are guys that are able to put some thumping on the ball. These are guys that are able to move the line. For Strand, it's been a little bit of a rough start to the season, but no such rough start for Spencer Steer, who's already been able to go yard, hitting well above 400 to begin the season. You've been able to get good production out of the catcher spot in Tyler Stevenson. Nick Martini had a pair of home runs to lead off the season as well, so I do like what I'm seeing there. Meanwhile, for the Philadelphia Phillies, Bryce Harper has all of a sudden been able to get online. He's got a grand slam to his credit, and after a few rough days to start the season, he's back in full form. The question is, are you going to be able to get good production out of some of these other guys, like Nick Castellanos, Trey Turner? I know that these two guys have been a little bit up and down throughout their career to begin the season, and Yoan Rojas, he's out there for his glove. He is not out there for his bat, but Kyle Schwarber has been much better at being able to reach base, be able to move the line. Don't think that we're going to get anyone to be able to deliver a three-home run game like our good friend Mr. Bryce Harper was able to do yesterday. But all in all, I do like the Phillies offense right now. The Phillies pitching, it is a little bit of a work in progress. So being able to get a plus 165 or higher on the Reds, that appeals to me. I'm going to be looking at them on the money line. And I do think that both of these pitchers are going to struggle. I did set my total more around an 8.6. So I like the over, and I do like the Reds on the money line. 903-904 on the betting board. It is the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're on the road. They're facing off against the Slam Diego Padres. Joe Musgrove goes for the Pods, and on the bump for the St. Louis Cardinals, it is going to be Zach Thompson. And Thompson and company, they are finding themselves as underdogs. You're able to get the St. Louis Cardinals anywhere between about a plus 124 to a plus 132, anywhere between minus 140 to minus 148. Your number on the Padres, 8.5 is the total, under is minus 120, and the over is even. I set the Padres at a minus 136, so I would need at least a plus 137 to be able to take a shot on St. Louis. If you're looking at the run line prices right now, you're finding that around about a plus 145 on the San Diego Padres, and I needed at least a plus 145, but we're going to be able to get there. I was willing to take plus 144 or greater in terms of laying a run half with the San Diego Padres. To the point of Sean Zarrillo, Zach Thompson does look like he's in a little bit of rough form right now, and I do feel like this could be a little bit of a higher scoring game than advertised. Joe Musgrove, he throughout his career has had some stumbles towards the beginning part of this season. We saw that last year. That was a little bit more due to injury. I believe that COVID year 2020 actually threw a no-hitter very early on, but certainly a different set of circumstances out there. But I do think that for Joe Musgrove, he's going to be a steady pitcher. He doesn't give up a lot of free passes. He does a solid job overall of being able to not allow super duper hard contact. His swing and miss stuff is just a little bit down right now, and I do think that the Cardinals, who they struggled on the road last year with their offense, I don't think that that's going to be the case this year. They've got a lot of good young bats to be able to pair with. Two very proven veterans in Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. Arenado's had a little bit of a tough start to the season. Got to feel like that's going to be something that is going to be jumping, and you've got Wilson Contreras, who had north of a 400 on base towards back half of the season last year. He's already got a pair of home runs to his credit, and then the young guys out there in the outfield, like Alec Burleson and company, I think that they're going to be able to produce. Jordan Walker is a guy that I'd like as well. And for the San Diego Padres, they don't have Juan Soto anymore, but this is still a very fearsome lineup of their own, and ball flies out in San Diego a little bit differently during the daytime rather than the nighttime, when you do have heavier air to be able to knock it down. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, a pair of guys that thus far this season have done a solid job of being able to reach base. Tatis already has three home runs to his credit. Machado, he's went deep twice. Luis Campusano helps out with the catcher spot as well. They were utilizing Gary Sanchez here last year. That's not a place where you want to be. And Jake Cronenworth, after he was pretty awful last year, looks like he's set for a bounce back. And big reason why I do like this run line as well is because the St. Louis Cardinals bullpen is just not great, to say the least. Ryan Elsley was an all-star reliever two seasons ago, but Got a lot of guys with ERAs that were hovering around 4 or north of 4 last season. They're looking at Matthew Liberatore, Giovanni Gallegos, Ryan Tepera, Andre Pallante, being able to come in and hold down the fort, and I don't have a lot of faith in them. Meanwhile, Robert Suarez, he picked it up towards back half of the season last year for the Padres. I like the pickup of Aniel De Los Santos along with Wandy Peralta. These guys should be able to do a nice job, be able to block things down. You want to avoid Johnny Brito. He just has not been good out there in the bullpen, but I look at this ordeal, and Joe Musgrove does not look like the Joe Musgrove that we all know and love. I think that's going to take him a little bit of time to be able to settle in, but I don't like the form of Zach Thompson either, a guy that in his first start of the season gave up 5 runs and 5 1/3 innings, including a trio of bombs. So it is a circumstance where I'm going to be willing to lay a run half with the Padres, and I'm seeing 1 or 2 stray eights pop up there as well. I'm going to be gauging this a little bit more in the AM, but if I can get an 8 at right now, I'm seeing that juice at a minus 115. I'm going to be willing to take that over. I set my total at an 8.4, so if I was left with nothing but an 8.5, I'd be taking a look at the under, but I would rather have an 8 over rather than an 8.5 under. So I'm going to be shopping that line a little bit, but hoping for an 8 over to go along with that Padres run line. 905-906 on the betting board. It is the Washington Nationals. They play to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mitch Keller goes for the Buccos, and Trevor Williams goes for the Washington Nationals. Nationals are a pretty sizable underdog between plus 130 and plus 142. Meanwhile, between minus 152 to minus 156, your number on the Pirates, and total on this game is 9. The under is minus 120, and the over is even, and circumstance where I did set the Pirates more on a minus 116. I'm going to take the plus price with the Washington Nationals. Mitch Keller really saw a velocity dip in spring training, did not look good in his first start, was able to be bailed out by the lineup, and fully recognize that this is a Washington Nationals team that's not going to be competing for the playoffs or anything like that this year, but I have real concerns with Mitch Keller, which is a big reason why I'm fading him, not because Trevor Williams is some sort of an incredible pitcher, though he did actually pitch for the Pittsburgh Pirates to begin his career, so a little bit of revenge sort of tilt there, but for Mitch Keller, he, in his first start against the Miami Marlins, gave up 4 runs, earned 5 runs in total in 5 2/3 innings, walked a pair, he wasn't getting as many swings and misses, and then you've got someone in Trevor Williams who, he's not a swing and miss guy by any stretch of the imagination, posted up a good hearty 5.55 ERA, was giving up a few more walks than what you'd like while only getting about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, and did give up a lot of hard contact, gave up darn near 2 home runs per 9 innings, and this Pittsburgh Pirates lineup might be the most improved unit in all of baseball. You pick up Rowdy Tellez, who he's not going to be a guy that consistently gets on base, but he's got a little bit of thumping power. And I mean, Jack Swinisky has not put together too much as far this season, and he's one of their main bats, but Brian Reynolds, Ke'Bryan Hayes, O'Neill Cruz at the top of the fold, these are all guys with power. Sans maybe Hayes. Hayes is not a guy that's going to crank too many deep, but these guys are all moving the line. They're all giving you north of a 315 average as far this season. Michael A. Taylor was a nice addition. Always a pretty solid bat. Not a guy that's a dominator by any stretch of the imagination, but I like his game. Henry Davis, we shall see if he's able to be relatively consistent, and if so, having a former number one pick like that, that's massive. And the Pirates are going to have the bullpen advantage in this game. I like Ryan Borucki. I like David Benar. These are two guys that are very solid towards back half of a game. And then you've got guys like Hunter Stranton and company that are really stepping up in that bullpen. But for the Nationals, they don't have the world's worst bullpen of their own. Guys like a Jordan Weems are guys that you're able to look to. Tannerini, he was injured all of last season 2 years ago. Was a pretty solid reliever for the team. He had a little bit of a rough go of it in his first appearance in the series, giving up a pair of runs to the Buccos. I do think that he's going to be able to settle down. Derek Law is something that I like in this bullpen as well. So I do think that it is going to be a case where the Pirates are going to start to cool down a little bit with their offense. But still, I take a look at this total. I set mine at a 9.2. So here at the 9, especially getting anywhere between even money and a little bit of plus 105 I'm seeing out there as well, I'm going to be willing to take a look at that over. And with the Pittsburgh Pirates, I just can't get by Mitch Keller. I do think that a Washington Nationals lineup that doesn't necessarily have a lot of pop, but has a lot of guys that consistently move the line and get on base, going to be able to do a solid job. You've got guys like Keibert Ruiz, Joey Meneses, Lane Thomas, who all hit at least 260 for the team. Thomas was your main guy that hit 20-plus home runs last year. CJ Abrams, if he's able to get on base, he's able to swipe a couple of bags. He's already got 3 stolen bases thus far this season. So going to be riding with the Washington Nationals on the money line. And here at the 9, I'm going to be looking at the over as well. 907-908 on the betting board. It is the Colorado Rockies in the road to face off against the Chicago Cubs, as Cal Quantrill is going to be on the bump for the Rockies, and Luke Little hopes to come up big for the Cubs. Right now, we are seeing an initial opener at DraftKings, minus 192 on the Cubs, plus 160 on the Colorado Rockies. This is a Wrigley Field game, so we currently have no total up on this one, but And said, I have set my total and I set mine relatively low. 7 or less, I'm going to be looking at the over, 7.5 or higher to the under. This is subject to a little bit of change because this is with thinking that the Wrigley Field wind is going to be super duper heavy. When I was looking at the forecast, when I put this together a few hours ago, we were seeing winds blowing in and blowing in very, very heavily. It looks like it might be reversing course a little bit. If it's blowing more directionally, this would bump it up by a full run. This would set it to where I'd be taking a look at the over at pretty much an 8 or less, 8.5 or higher. That would be my buy point on the under. So we are subject to a little bit of change there. If we've got the heavy wind, it's going to be more of a 7.2. If we've got more of the directional wind, an 8.2. But with Luke Little, this is going to be his first career start, and you have to figure that he's probably not going to be too long for this game. He's a young, I believe, 23-year-old that spent some time with the Cubs in the minor league system last season. He was mostly utilized out of the bullpen, and he lent a little bit of length coming out of the bullpen, but he was primarily like a two-inning guy, a flamethrower that would be able to give you north of 14 strikeouts per 9 innings. But again, I think that he's going to go out there, he's going to be able to deliver you 2, maybe 3 innings, and then it's going to be sort of a bullpen game for the Cubs. I don't think that there's any, like, one real bulk guy in this game. Perhaps it would be Drew Smyly, a former starter for the team that they've converted to the bullpen. Ben Brown is someone that you're probably going to be seeing a few innings out of, but this is going to be a true of true Johnny Wholesale approach. And for Cal Quantrill, him heading on over to the Colorado Rockies, I think, is going to be rough for him because he's very much a pitch of contact guy, and Colorado just in general does not treat these guys too kindly. First start of the season against the Arizona Diamondbacks, gave up 5 runs in 5 innings, was oh so profitable towards back half of the 2022 into the early 2023 season, but I mean, he's never been a high strikeout guy. He gives you about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. I've noticed early on during the season, typically he misses a lot of spots in that first start of the season, had a walk and 2 home runs surrendered, so you've got your issues there, and even bigger issues, this bullpen, which is just absolutely awful. Jalen Meeks is someone that I really don't have a lot of faith in. Jake Bird was able to give you a few okay innings last season, but you're looking at Victor Vodnik being one of your better relievers for the team, along Nick Mears and Tyler Kinley. That's just complete and utter garbage, and they have to go up against a Chicago Cubs team that they do a nice job of just being able to provide offense. Number 6 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. They're not necessarily like number 1 in terms of home runs. They don't have that one guy, really, other than perhaps Cody Bellinger, that can absolutely own a game. And Cody Bellinger has gotten off to a solid start right now, about a .391 on base, has cranked out 1 home run. But I mean, you've got guys like Christopher Morel, Ian Happ, Dansby Swanson, C.A. Suzuki, guys that are going to be approaching about 20, if they're lucky, 25 home runs, but they all do a solid job, be able to get on base. Miguel Amaya, Yan Gomes at the catcher spot are good. Nick Madrigal finds a way to be able to get on base for the Colorado Rockies. You just don't have any of that whatsoever. This Rockies team has scored 2 runs or fewer in, I believe, all but one of their games this far this campaign, and that's without them dealing with the elevation changes. Charlie Blackman has done a nice job at the leadoff spot, being able to move the line. He and Ryan McMahon are both hitting above a .350. They're really the only two guys in the lineup that are hitting above a .250 at this point, and the season is about a week long. And you've got Nolan Jones, who last year was very solid for the team, 20-plus home runs. He has not been able to get out of his own way. Chris Bryant is still looking for his first hit of the season. You've got guys like Ezekiel Tovar that they just don't belong at the big league level. So even though it's pretty much a bullpen game for the Cubs, I'm going to be willing to back them in the spot. Right now, we're not seeing any run line prices, but as long as we've got a run line of pretty much a minus 105 or better, which with this sort of money line, I'm thinking we should be able to get, I'm going to be willing to lay that run line. And then, like I said, it looks like the wind is going to be a little bit more directional. So if that is indeed the case, 8 or less is going to be taking a look at the over, 8.5 or higher, the under, 909-910 on the betting board. It is the San Francisco Giants on the road facing off against the LA Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow is on the bump for the Dodgers, and Kyle Harrison is going to be on the bump for the Giants, and the Giants find themselves as underdogs, anywhere between plus 180 and plus 196, anywhere between minus 210 to minus 220. Your number on the Dodgers, 8.5 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Over is between even and minus 110. Need at least a plus 196 to be able to take a shot on the Giants, and if you're looking to lay a run and a half with the LA Dodgers, you're mostly finding that at right around about a minus 105 and wouldn't want to go past a minus 105, but I'm willing to lay the minus 105 on the run line. I set my number at a minus 107 for Tyler Glasnow. He's looked relatively solid to begin the season, and for Glasnow, last season he had a ERA that was actually higher than his fielding independent because this guy just knows how to be able to get punch-outs. Last year, he was providing about 12.5 or so strikeouts per 9 innings. He did have a few walks in that first series out there in Seoul, South Korea, but came back to the States. He posted up 6 solid innings, giving up 1 run against the St. Louis Cardinals. Looks like he's in for a very good year. And Kyle Harrison, I mean, this guy does a really good job of being able to give you swings and misses. Just 8 career starts at the big league level, but already 9 punchouts per 9 innings. If you looked at what he was able to do at the minor league level, just absolutely filthy stuff. He's got a lot of upside, but the LA Dodgers are the team that provides the better bullpen. They did have to go through quite a few pieces yesterday with it being a little bit of a more wholesale approach. And for the Giants, they're a little bit more well-rested with having Roger Squared out there. They have converted Jordan Nix into a starter. Camilo Duvall is someone that's able to do a solid job in the 9th inning. I like the game of Ryan Walker as well, but for the LA Dodgers, the opener from yesterday in Ryan Brazier, he was able to put on Dodger blue last year and in a Dodgers uniform has provided a sub-2 ERA. Evan Phillips is very reliable towards the back half of this bullpen as well. Again, they had to burn through quite a few pieces, but someone like Danny Hudson is someone that you like, and this LA Dodgers team is just absolutely pounding the tar out of the ball. You've got Mookie Betts, who entered into yesterday with a .520 average with 4 home runs. I mean, my goodness, he's just absolutely doing it. And you've got a guy, Max Muncy, who last year didn't nip for a great average, but he got on base quite a bit. His batting average this season looks to be up to Teoscar Hernandez. He's already got 3+ home runs this season. You've got Shohei Ohtani, who's had a little bit of a rough start to his career out there in Los Angeles, but I do think that that's going to be picking up. And then you've got a Giants lineup that is much improved from last year. Last year, in the second half of the season, they were one of the worst run creation offenses out there in all of baseball. But you pick up Jorge Soler, you pick up Matt Chapman, two guys that fully expect to give this team 25+ home runs. That's massive. You've got Jung Woo Lee, who's come over from the KBO and has looked relatively solid. And that helps when you've got the likes of Mike Yastrzemski, Theriot Estrada, Wilmer Flores, guys that'll give you about 15 to 20 home runs. Really, sans Yastrzemski, you've got a lot of guys that they just find a way to be able to move the line, and Michael Conforto looks to be back in relatively solid form as well. So it's a circumstance where I'm going to be willing to take the Dodgers at a -105 on the run line, and did set my total at an 8.4 here at the 8.5, just a little bit too high for me, as I do think that Harrison and Glasnow going to be both able to go out there and be dominant. So I like the under, and I do like the Dodgers on the run line, 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. It is the Kansas City Royals, and they're on the road facing off against the Baltimore Orioles. Corbin Burns goes for the Orioles, and Cole Ragans is on the bump for the Royals, and the Royals are underdogs of anywhere between +140 and +148. Meanwhile, between -158 to -166 is that number on Baltimore. 7.5 is the total, under is -120, and the over is even. I was talking about this with Sean Zerilla. I do think that both of these starters are going to be able to lend a good start here, but I do like the over just because I absolutely hate this Kansas City Royals bullpen, and as a result, I did set the Orioles at a -172 on the money line, and I'm willing to take the run line as well. I needed at least a +110 to be able to take a shot on laying a run and F, and right now we're finding that around about a +130 to a +135, so I'm going to be willing to dive in there just because I do think that the Baltimore Orioles, after getting shut down by Cole Ragans to begin the game, they're going to be able to get into a bullpen that is just absolutely wretched for the Orioles. You've got guys like a James MacArthur that you need to throw in big-time spots. Jordan Lyles, I believe, is becoming a reliever for this team. That's not something that you want. Will Smith, Chris Stratton, I just look at all these guys, and there's not a single trustworthy guy, in my opinion. Meanwhile, for the Baltimore Orioles, hopefully they don't have Craig Kimbrell throwing this game because he is not great himself, but Dylan Tate missed the entirety of the 2022 season. 2 seasons ago, he was very, very good. Jacob Webb, he's able to give you some good innings. He, Danny Colom, Yennier Cano, these are all guys I think could give you a sub-3.2 ERA, especially Cano. And for Baltimore, you just have by far the better lineup backing up Corbin Burns, as Ryan Mountcastle has had himself a relatively nice start to the season in terms of moving the line, as he's been able to hit well north of a .300, and I'm just going back to what he came off the injured list last season. He's been one of the hotter hitters out there in baseball. Anthony Santander, he's already got a pair of home runs to his credit. Got guys like Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Westberg, Austin the Saves Kid. These guys that at the end of the season, they'll probably give you a little bit more slash less than 20 home runs. In the case of Henderson, probably closer to about 25, but they all do a solid job reaching base. It's an Orioles team that was a top 7 offense in terms of runs created last season, and wasn't due to just absolutely pounding the tar of the ball. It's just really good job of moving the line in general. And then for the Kansas City Royals, you've got young upside on this team, but I just don't know when it's going to be coming to the forefront. Guys like Mikel Garcia, Vinny Pascantino, Nelson Velasquez, I like them. And Velasquez had some real pop in his bat. You've got Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez. They've all got two home runs to their credit thus far this season, to their just overall credit. But that said, with Bobby Witt Jr., he's really one of the few guys on this roster that's able to consistently move the line. MJ Melendez has not been too bad himself, but the Royals seem to learn to be able to take their base. They have not been able to do a great job of that. And for Cole Ragans, ever since he joined the Kansas City Royals, he's been one of the more dominant starting pitchers out there in the big leagues. Going back to the end of last season, a sub-275 ERA, doing a nice job, getting a bunch of strikeouts. We saw that in his first start where he gave up two runs, but punched out nine. And then for Corbin Burns, gave up that home run to Mike Trout in his first start, but settled in from there, 11 strikeouts, and I mean, he looks like the Corbin Burns of old. You can tell that when he was with the Milwaukee Brewers, he just wasn't comfortable in that ballpark as well. He always had a higher ERA when he was in Milwaukee rather than away from home. I think that this is going to be a ballpark that suits him very well. So I did set my total at 7.7. No faith at all in this Royals bullpen, so I like the over, and I do like the Orioles on the run line laying a run and a half. 9-13, 9-14 on the betting board. It is the Tampa Bay Rays. They play us to the Walker, Texas Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be going for the Rangers, and Aaron Savali is on the bump for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, anywhere between minus 114 to minus 120 favorites, between even money and plus 107 is that number on Texas. 8 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The under is anywhere between even and minus 110. And did sell my total at 8.3. I'm going to be looking at the over for Aaron Savali. It's always been a case where he's been incredibly either lucky or unlucky. If you look at him in pretty much every year in his career, his fielding independent is either a point higher or a point lower than his actual ERA. So hopefully he'll actually get what he deserves this season. And what he deserves right now is quite a bit of credit. First start of the season against the Toronto Blue Jays, he gives up one run over the course of six innings. That was a solo home run, but all in all, looked very solid in that start. If you take a look at what he was able to do last season coming over from Cleveland, he actually had a very high 5.36 ERA with the Rays, but his fielding independent was lower with the Rays than it was with the Cleveland Guardians. So again, just a very strange anomaly with that regard. He was able to up his swing and miss stuff when he got to Tampa Bay. He overall last season had just under 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, and has to go up against the Texas Rangers lineup that they don't hit the deep ball the same way when they're away from home rather than when they're at home. At home, they were number one in the American League in terms of home runs. They were actually a bottom team with regards to home runs per game away from home, but they seem to have rectified that thus far. You've got Adolis Garcia and Josh Young, who have combined for 5 home runs thus far this season, and even with them not pounding the deep ball away from home, they're still averaging 5.1 runs per game in road games. Just got so much consistency, and so many guys are able to hit in this lineup. 1-9, you really don't get a break. Leody Taveras might be the worst player in this lineup, and he's still pretty stinking good. Josh Young, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, these are all guys I see hitting for 25-plus home runs, all giving you at least a .260 average. Wyatt Langford, as a rookie, has yet to pound the deep ball, but I mean, he's been able to really do a solid job moving the line, finding a way on base. The concern that you got for the Rangers is this bullpen. They did revamp it a little bit in the offseason, bringing in David Robertson along with Kirby Yates, but you're going to be having to rely upon some less trustworthy guys like Josh Shabors, Yuri Rodriguez and company. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, Jason Adam, Pete Fairbanks, Colm Pooch, these are guys that are just incredible in what is always one of the best bullpens in the big leagues. I expect absolutely nothing less this season, so I do think that they are going to be able to do a solid job backing up Savali, whereas I don't know if Nathan Eovaldi is going to be able to get that support. First start of the season for Eovaldi looked relatively solid, gave up two runs over the course of six innings, didn't necessarily have a ton of swing and miss, so, and for Eovaldi, you know that the control is going to be there. Last year, he had right around about 2 walks per 9 innings, but is prone to giving up a little bit of harder contact, and I do think that a Rays lineup that has a lot of guys that they're just very functional, good bats. You're not going to have that one guy that is going to have an absolutely massive season. Isak Paredes did approach 30 home runs last year, but with having someone like Harold Ramirez, who last season hit above 300, Yandy Diaz, who does amazing work, giving you about a 400 on base from a season ago, having Brandon Lau, Josh Lowe, these guys that they provide both power and consistency in terms of getting on base, going to be a little bit too much here. Here at the 8, I'm going to be taking a look at the over, and with the Rays, set them at a minus 126, so I like the Rays money line, and I do like this total over as well. 9-15, 9-16 on the betting board, it is the Boston Red Sox on the road, facing off against the Oakland A's. Ross Stripling goes for the A's, and Nick Pavetta is on the bump for Boston. 8.5 is the total, over and under, both at minus 110, and with Boston, they are anywhere between minus 152 to minus 155 favorites, anywhere between plus 130 and plus 142, that number on Oakland. I'm sure this won't come as a shock to too many people, but I'm back on the Boston Red Sox. Set them as a minus 158 on the money line, but if you're looking at that run line, you're able to get plus money between plus 105 to a plus 110, and pretty much I was willing to take even money or better. I set the run line at a minus 102, and for Nick Pivetta, he was absolutely dealing in his first start of the season, and you just look at him since really the back half of the season last year. He was demoted from being a starter to being in the bullpen, and ever since then, I don't know if he's had an epiphany, if he just got a wake-up call in general, but this guy has been absolutely awesome. First start of the season, he takes a loss, but that wasn't really his fault. He goes six innings, he gives up a solo home run, he punches out 10, had a really, really good start there, and if you just take a look at the amount of strikeouts that he was able to get towards back half of the season last year, he was a completely different player when he was sent to the bullpen. Took him a few actual starts to be able to get his bearings behind him, to be able to just settle in general, but if you look from July 1st all the way to the end of the season last year, he made 18 total appearances. His strikeouts per nine rate was hovering right around 12. His ERA was in the neighborhood of 3.27. He's just looked like a completely different pitcher, and throughout his career, he's actually had a ERA more than half a point better away from home rather than at home as a Boston Red Sox. Meanwhile, you've got someone in Ross Stripling who he's got his question marks with him. He had north of a 5 ERA last season with the San Francisco Giants. It was a very pitcher-friendly ballpark for him, and he's just never been one that gets a lot of strikeouts. He did have 6 strikeouts in the first start of the season against the Cleveland Guardians. I think that that's a little bit of an anomaly, and he does a nice job not putting guys on cheaply, but we've got a Boston Red Sox lineup that I do think is going to do a solid job being able to just bang this Oakland A's bullpen, as well as Ross Stripling, as Tyler O'Neill has been a nice addition for this team. He's already got a pair of home runs. Now, Trevor Story is a big giant question mark. Had 3 hits yesterday, but need to see it to believe it a little bit more out of him. But Rafael Devers, he's one of the better hitters in all baseball. Jaron Duran at the leadoff spot, is able to move the line. And Tristan Casas, last season, post-All-Star break, and north of a 4 on base. And for the Oakland A's, you just have to have massive questions with this lineup. J.J. Blade A, Shea Langeliers, they've got a little bit of upside. Both went deep yesterday, but likes of Seth Brown, Ryan Noda, Zach Galof, these are guys that are just on inning right now. And Galof actually had a nice end of the season last year, but Brent Rooker is off to a relatively slow start this year as well. He was their main guy from a season ago. And Danny Menace, he's relatively solid in this Oakland A's bullpen. Really, nobody else is able to give you good innings. Lucas Hursedge is someone that you don't want to trust in. TJ McFarland, a few years ago, had an A season. He's went down the toilet bowl recently as well. And then for the Boston Red Sox, while this is not an amazing bullpen, you've got Kenley Jansen, who's able to close it out. They did have to go through quite a few bullpen pieces, as game yesterday went to 11 innings, so you might not be seeing Isaiah Campbell after he threw 16 pitches yesterday, but Chris Martin, who threw 9, he could conceivably come back. He had a sub-2 ERA last season. I do think that the Boston Red Sox just completely have this Oakland A's team dominated. I think that Nick Pivetta going to continue to be able to roll, so it's a spot where I'm going to be taking a look at the Red Sox on the run line, and I did set my total at 8.2. You did have the bullpens have quite a bit of usage yesterday, but Oakland is one of the more pitcher-friendly ballparks in all baseball. I think that Pivetta just continues to deal. So, looking at the under and the Red Sox on the run line, 9.17, 9.18 on the betting board. It is the Cleveland Guardians on the road facing off against the Seattle Mariners. George Kirby goes for Seattle, and Logan Allen is on the bump for Cleveland. 7.5 is the total. The over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The under is anywhere between even and minus 110. Meanwhile, with Seattle, they're between minus 158 to minus 162 favorites. And between plus 136 and plus 150 is your number on Cleveland. And with Cleveland, I needed at least a plus 137 to be able to take a shot here. So we have gotten to that buy point. I really like George Kirby as a pitcher. You saw him in the first start of the season that he had. He was absolutely rifling against the Boston Red Sox. The team was able to win the game 1-0 because he had a nice effort. His swing and miss stuff was a little bit off, but he also had 2 walks in that start as well. And for George Kirby, that's really been his main thing. He doesn't walk anyone whatsoever, but he will give up quite a bit of contact. And for the Cleveland Guardians, this bunch is not one that's going to really take you deep. You've got Josh and Bo Naylor, who provide a little bit of power, but right now this team has a grand total of 5 home runs in their first 6 games of the season, and quite frankly, I think that that's going to be their average for the season. They're probably going to get 5 home runs every 6 games. You've got guys like Stephen Kwan, Andrés Giménez, who 2 seasons ago, these were 2 guys that did a nice job being able to reach base, and thus far this season, these 2 guys, along with Josh Naylor, who I mentioned before, earning above a 300. You've got Brian Rocchio, who's a young 23-year-old. He doesn't have a lot of pop, but does a nice job being able to move the line as well. You had Jose Ramirez, who's really the main RBI man for the team. So you've got guys that do a solid job of being able to get on, but not a lot of overall power. Meanwhile, for the Mariners, they do lose a little bit of power from the offseason as you no longer have Eugenio Suarez along Jerry Kelenic. So they're going to be looking to Jorge Polanco to be able to pick it up. 3 hits in his first 22 at-bats. Not necessarily what you want to see. And Julio Rodriguez, just throughout his career, has been a little bit of a slow starter. We've seen that from him thus far this season. But J.P. Crawford has done a nice job of being able to be an on-base guy throughout his career. And he just hasn't provided that thus far this season. 2 hits in his first 24 at-bats. Can be a little bit hit or miss. This bunch is really in need of a bit more of a power surge from Cal Raleigh as well. Not a guy that necessarily does a great job of being able to reach base, but can give you 30 home runs on a given season. And for the Mariners, they're just amazing with their bullpen, being able to spot guys like a Taylor Cicado, Trent Thornton, reclamation projects that become big-time bullpen pieces. Andres Munoz is some of the nastiest stuff that you're going to find in all of baseball, but they're right now dealing with a few injuries in that bullpen. They're probably going to be without Matt Brash for quite a while. Gregory Santos was a nice offseason acquisition that they do not have access to. Meanwhile, for the Guardians, they've been dealing with an injury to James Karinczak, but your main guy in Emmanuel Clase, who's able to close out games, is out there. Hunter Gaddis has had a nice second lease on life in terms of being a good reliever. Eli Morgan does a solid job in the bullpen as well, and I do think that you're going to be able to get a good start out of Logan Allen. Was a little bit shaky in his first start of the campaign. He did give up 3 runs, 2 homers in that start against the Oakland A's, but you look at what he was able to do a season ago, and I was quite impressed by him. He's a solid swing and miss guy, not necessarily an amazing one, but puts it up a 381 ERA while getting about 8.6, 8.7 strikeouts per 9 innings. His walks per 9 rate is hovering right around 3, but does a pretty solid job mitigating hard contact, and I do think that both of these pitchers are going to be able to deliver a relatively solid performance. But in the end, I do think that the Guardians get the job done in a low-scoring game. I set my total at 7.2. Seattle won the more pitcher-friendly ballparks in all baseball, so I'd like the under and Cleveland on the money line. 919, 920 on the betting board. This is going to be the DK Network write-up pick, as we've got the Toronto Blue Jays on the road facing off against the Houston Astros. Christian Javier is on the bump for Houston, and Chris Bassett as the hook, line, and sinker for Toronto. The total is 8.5, over is between minus 120 to a minus 125, under is between even a minus 105, and with Houston, they are between minus 136 and minus 142 favorites, between plus 120 and plus 130 is your number on Toronto, and right up here is actually going to be on the over. I set my total at a 9.7, so even if this goes from an 8.5 to more of like an unjuiced 9, I really do like this total over, and I do think that you're going to get both of these offenses who have been inept in this series, to say the least, to be able to pick it up. You have a Astros unit that last season was 5th in the league in terms of total runs per game, and for the Toronto Blue Jays, last season they were averaging about 4.9 runs per game away from them. They actually scored more runs on the road rather than at home, and for the Toronto Blue Jays, it certainly does sting that they no longer have Matt Chapman in the fold, but Vlad Guerrero Jr., after he had an, and I air quotes here, down season last year, providing about a 340 on base with 25-plus home runs, he should be able to give you a good season. George Springer has an SAA for average, but he's hit a pair of home runs this far this season. Justin Turner has been a really good addition for this team. David Schneider has done nothing but hit when he's been up at the big league level last 2 seasons, so I like these pieces, and for the Houston Astros, got to figure that Yordan Alvarez is going to get out of this funk. He's right now hitting for a 222 on base and hasn't provided a lot of power to begin the season. Alex Bregman just always struggles at the beginning part of the season, but bringing in Yainer Diaz for the catcher spot after they were starting Martin Maldonado for so many years, that takes out of the fold what was just a dead position for the team in general in terms of hitting. Now, Jose Abreu, it looks like he's going to have another rough year this year, but Jose Altuve at the top of the fold, he's rock solid. And for Christian Javier, if you date it back to June 21st of last season, he has made 18 total starts. In that stretch, he's got north of a 5.50 ERA, giving up about 4.5 walks, 1.6 home runs per 9 innings. Had a good, nice first start against the New York Yankees, but his swing and miss stuff just has not been there really since June of last season. I don't know if he's dealing with a lingering issue and maybe just figured out something in the offseason, but something does not look right with him. And for the Toronto Blue Jays, you've got Chris Bassett, who's been taking hook, line, and sinker when he's been away from home. At home, since joining the Blue Jays to begin the 2023 season, he's been able to provide at home a sub-3 ERA. On the road, this balloons up to about a 4.64. When he's on the road, he is giving up about 1.9 home runs per 9 innings. And first start of the season against the Tampa Bay Rays, he gave up 5 runs, 4 of which were earned in 5 innings. So that's a little bit less than terrific. And for the Blue Jays, they're also dealing with quite a few just injuries in general. Now Genesis Cabrera is suspended. They're without Eric Swanson. They're without Jordan Romano. That really affects them, as they had to throw Chad Green in the game yesterday. So they've got a lot of guys that are not going to be available in this game if our good friend in Mr. Bassett gets lit up. And for the Houston Astros, they do have Josh Hader now in the fold. He and Ryan Presley should be a great eighth and ninth inning duo, but they lose the likes of Ryan Stanek from a season ago. You've got quite a few guys that were part of that World Series run that are no longer out there to be able to help this team out. I like Brian Abreu in the bullpen, but it's not quite the same bullpen. You got guys like Parker Molchinski they have to rely upon, and I don't think that they are very reliable. So it's a circumstance where I do think that both of these offenses are going to be able to rise up in this spot. And I did set the Astros at a minus 139. I just simply don't really trust Chris Bassett too much on the road. Seeing the minus 136 or minus 140, I'm going to be willing to take the Astros on the money line. Not going to go run line here. I just want to stick with the money line and my DK Network right to pick. That is on the total over, whether you've got 8.5 or 9. Good value there. 921, 922 on the betting board. It is the Milwaukee Brewers. They play host to the Minnesota Twins. Chris Paddock is on the bump for the Twins, and Joe Ross is on the bump for Milwaukee. Pretty much a pick'em game. Both of these teams ending between minus 105 to minus 110 with a total of 8.5. With the 8.5, the over and the under ending between minus 105 to minus 115. Circa does have an 8 up there, and with the 8, the over is minus 115 and the under is minus 105. I did set my total at a 9.2, especially that 8 that I'm seeing at Circa. I'm going to be willing to go with the over, and biggest reason why I do like the over is that you just have so many question marks with both of these starting pitchers. Joe Ross actually looked halfway decent in spring training, but this is going to be the first time that we see Joe Ross on an MLB mound since 2021. Spent quite a bit of time at the minor league level. He needed Tommy John surgery as well, so I mean, it's just a rough state of affairs for him. And even when Joe Ross was out there for the Washington Nationals and a few other teams, it's not like he was necessarily that amazing. You go back to that 2021 season, and he was giving up a home run and a half per nine innings with about 3 walks per 9. So it's not like Joe Ross has ever really been that great. And for Chris Paddock, he came into just baseball in general with a lot of fanfare when he was with the Padres many years ago, but has just never really been able to put it together. I've got my question marks with him. He returned towards back half of the season last year and has always been a relatively solid swing and miss guy. Not necessarily amazing, not necessarily terrible, but you go back to really his last full season in 2021, he had about a 5 ERA, and that was pitching in San Diego. He was giving up about 1.3 home runs per nine. He did a good job in terms of the command, but man, I've got my question marks with him. If you're able to get 5 good innings out of these two guys, then you're really looking uphill, because with the Minnesota Twins, you've got the likes of Jay Jackson, Cody Funderburk out there in the bullpen. I like what you're able to get as well out of even someone like Brock Stewart. I mean, it's a really totally solid bullpen. And the Milwaukee Brewers, I wouldn't doubt it if they're a top 3 bullpen when it's all said and done in baseball. They might be number 1, especially once they get to Evan Williams back in the fold. But even without him, Elvis Biggio, Joel Piamps, these two guys are absolutely incredible. Ebner Uribe, he's able to throw 100 plus miles per hour as well. You just have all sorts of question marks with these lineups. With the Minnesota Twins, having Royce Lewis out of the fold, I mean, he's probably a top 5 guy in terms of impact to a lineup. You saw the grand slams that he had a season ago, and Byron Buxton has been okay at being above the line, but once again, is he going to be able to stay healthy? You've got a Minnesota Twins lineup that right now, they've got one more home run than myself, and that was provided by Royce Lewis. That has to be ticking upward, as you've got the likes of Alex Kirilloff, Edouard Julien, that they do a solid job of being able to move the line. They'll provide about like 15, 20 home runs this season, but Carlos Correa, he had 3 hits in that first game. He hasn't had one ever since then. I think that'll wake up a little bit with this assignment of Joe Ross. And then for the Milwaukee Brewers, it's just all about what you're able to get out of the young guys. As I like the game of Christian Yelich, it looks like he's returning to form. And Rhys Hoskins was a really good signing in the offseason. He had 25-plus home runs 2 seasons ago with the Philadelphia Phillies. Missed all of last season. He's already got a bomb to his name. And then you do have Willy Adames, who's been getting on base much more consistently this year than a season ago. But the likes of a Sal Frelick, Blake Perkins, Bryce Terang, are they going to be able to consistently get on base? Terang has actually been very solid thus far, but need to see it to believe it. That said, with this pitching matchup, I do think that both of these offenses heat up a little bit, and I do think that the Brewers have an edge in the bullpen. So I did set the Brewers at a minus 111, wanted to take them on this pick'em line, and you're at an 8 to an 8.5, looking at the over. 923, 924 on the betting board. It is the Miami Marlins playing us to the LA Angels. Patrick Sandoval is on the bump for the Halos, and AJ Puck is on the bump for Miami. Miami, any between minus 110 to a minus 118 favorite. Between even money, seeing a straight plus 104 to a minus 105, your number on Los Angeles, 8.5 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 115. Under is between minus 105 to minus 110. And with the Miami Marlins, I did set them as a minus 128. Going to be willing to back them on the money line. Now, the biggest question that you've got in this one for Miami is whether or not AJ Puck is cut out to be a starter, because he was tremendous in the bullpen, and I thought it was a little bit befuddling that they moved him up to being a starter, but with having so many injuries, you're currently without Yuri Perez, you're currently without, for the entirety of the season, Sandy Alcantara. They really didn't have too many options, and for our good friend and Mr. Puck, he had 6 walks and 2 innings to begin his season, so that was not necessarily too terrific, but we've also got a guy, Patrick Sandoval, who he really doesn't do too much great. He gives out quite a few walks. His main specialty has been not giving up the home run ball, which he didn't give up a home run in his first start against the Baltimore Orioles, but he went 1 2/3 innings, and he gave up north of 3 runs. That was not too terrific. He just gives up a lot of contact in general, doesn't give you a lot of swings and misses. Again, other than not give up home runs, he doesn't do a lot great. And for the LA Angels, this is not a great bullpen as well. They're looking at Jose Cicerno, needing to refine the just overall fountain of youth. Luis Garcia is not a guy that I trust in late in games. You've got Jose Soriano, who I do like, but Guillermo Zanik, he has been really getting lit up. And then for the Miami Marlins, you've got someone named George Soriano, who I do think is going to be relatively solid. He's able to give you multiple innings, so you got to figure that he's probably going to be figuring into the equation tomorrow. You've got Oscar Brazoben, who he works relatively solid out of the bullpen as well, so I like these guys, but at the same time, I just have no idea why the Miami Marlins did not retain Jorge Soler, because right now their main form of power, that'd be Jake Berger, who had 25-plus home runs a season ago, and you got to figure that Luis Urias is going to be able to snap out of this funk. He has not been himself to begin the season, batting a .208. He's looked a little bit better in the series, but first few games against the Pittsburgh Pirates, nothing doing for him. Tim Anderson looks completely washed. Josh Bell, I mean, he does an okay job of being able to provide a little bit of power, but it's not amazing. And then your outfielders of guys like Casey Sanchez, Jazz Chisholm, and Brian De La Cruz, I mean, they're all pretty functional, but they're not amazing by any stretch of the imagination. And then for the LA Angels, Mike Trout, we all know what he's able to do. He's one of the best hitters on the face of planet Earth. What do you have outside of that? Taylor Ward has been able to give you a pair of home runs, but Anthony Rendon is just a big giant waste of money. He has yet to get a hit this far this season. I mean, he's worse than a replacement level player at this point. But Logan O'Happy, he's got nice upside at the catcher spot. He's been able to do a nice job being able to get on base. And before he got hurt last season, it looked like he was going to come into his own. Aaron Hicks has a new lease on life after he was able to bust out with the Baltimore Orioles last season, but I just have no faith whatsoever in this LA Angels bullpen. I think that both of these starters are relatively awful to say the least, but you do have very much a pitcher's ballpark, and you've got a pair of teams that, outside of their main guys, they are relatively powerless. So it's an interesting circumstance. I did set my total at 8.1. I do think that Puck going to give a much better second start than he did a first one, so going to be willing to ride with the Marlins on the money line. Set this total at a 8.1, so looking at the under, and with the Marlins willing to lay up to -127 with them. 925, 926 on the betting board. It is the Chicago White Sox playing against the Atlanta Braves. Spencer Strider goes for the Bravos, and it's looking like it's going to be Nick Nastorini going for the Chicago White Sox. We do not know who's going to be the starter. They have yet to announce one, so this is a game that is presently off the board. But if it is Nastorini, this is a circumstance where I set the Braves on the money line at a -258. I'd be willing to lay up to a -165 on the run line, and somebody told to wear an 8.5 or less. I'm looking at the over, a 9 or higher to the under. This is just an Atlanta Braves team that is a hitting machine, and I think that with them losing yesterday, we just have to give a lot of credit to Garrett Crochet. I think that Garrett Crochet is going to really light the world on fire this season, but if you're looking at Nastorini, who right now I'm thinking is going to be the starter, and if it's not him, it's probably going to be a relatively similar handicap here, but he's a young gun of about 24 years old. This would be his MLB debut. He comes in as a top 75 prospect coming into the campaign. And if you look at what he was able to do across the LA Dodgers and the Chicago White Sox farm systems last year, very good swing and miss stuff, especially when he was pitching in AA for the White Sox. He had 13 strikeouts per 9 innings, but just not a guy that has a lot of command right now. He's someone that is a little bit prone to giving up the deep ball. He was pitching in college over at UCLA, and I do think that the Atlanta Braves are just going to rip him apart. Really, whoever the White Sox are out there, the Atlanta Braves are going to rip them apart. As for the Chicago White Sox, this is just an absolutely brutal bullpen, to say the least. You've got guys out there like Davey Garcia, John Brebbia, Tanner Banks are trying to hold down the fort. I wouldn't doubt if Banks sees multiple innings, they can get a little bit of length out of him. But for the Atlanta Braves, just up and down the boulevard. You've got hitter upon hitter upon hitter as Ozzie Albies, along with the reigning MVP award winner, Ronald Acuna Jr., Michael Harris. These are all guys that are going to give you 25-plus home runs. These are all guys that are just really good hitters. Matt Olson led the big leagues in home runs a season ago. Austin Riley, he's had a little bit of an up-and-down start to the season, but you know that he's one of the better hitters out there in baseball. And for the Chicago White Sox, they were dead last in the big leagues in terms of plate discipline. They forced the fewest walks on a per-at-bat basis of any team. Paul DeJong has been able to provide a pair of home runs, and Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, they've been able to give you a little bit of offense to begin the season, especially Robert. I know that he's gone deep already twice as far this season, but it's a team as a collective that is sitting below the Mendoza line of 200. Andrew Vaughn is really the only guy that's willing to take a base for the team. Eloy Jimenez just seems to be regressing. Martin Maldonado has as many hits as myself, and there might not be a worse hitting position right now than the White Sox catchers. I mean, man, this is relatively rough for them. Andrew Benintendi has not been able to provide much of anything, and Spencer Strider, guy that's able to give you north of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings, a guy that is just a complete dominator. He should be able to go out there, do his part, and for Strider, he does give up a little bit of hard contact from time to time. I don't think that that's going to be too much of an issue against the White Sox, and then having the bullpen that you've got with the Atlanta Braves, having A.J. Minter back in the fold after he's dealt with some injuries. I know that they were dealing with Tyler Mazick being out much of last season, so that's big getting him back. Rossy Iglesias does a nice job blocking things down. Pierce Johnson, as a Brave, has a sub-1 ERA, so here in this spot, Mona lay up to a -165 on the Braves run line. Need at least a +258 to take a shot on the White Sox, whether it's Nasserini or some other schlub who's going to get the start in this one. Then in after less, looking at the over 9 or higher to the under. 927, 928 on the bang board. It is the New York Yankees on the road facing off against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Merrill Kelly goes for the sinks, and Carlos Rodon is on the bump for the Yankees. Yankees are a slight favorite, anywhere between -108 to -112, anywhere between +101 to -108. Your number on Arizona, 8.5 to 9 is the total. On the 8.5, over is -115, the under is -105. On the 9, the under is -125, and the over is +105. Semi-total 9.1. Personally, I would rather take the 8.5 at a -115 over, just because I do think that the jump from 8.5 to 9 warrants a little bit more juice than that, so I do think that you're getting a little bit more of a discount, so I do like that over, but I also like the Diamondbacks in this spot. Set them at a -127. Merrill Kelly has actually been seeing an uptick in terms of swing and miss stuff last year at darn near 10 punch-outs per 9 innings, and for Merrill Kelly, his home and road splits normalized last season, but if you look at him throughout his career, he has, since getting to Arizona, had about a point lower on his ERA when he's been at home rather than away from home. And for Carlos Rodon, he did walk 3 in his debut a few days ago when he went up against the Houston Astros, but I felt like it was a little bit encouraging. The swing and miss stuff seems to be coming back. He just at no point last season was ever healthy. I still don't think that he's back to being 100%, but you know what? It's relatively encouraging. And for the New York Yankees, this is one of the better bullpens that you're going to find in the big leagues. Ian Hamilton has been incredible for the team the last few seasons. They're dealing with the injury to Tommy Kahnle, but that said, Caleb Ferguson, Victor Gonzalez were relatively solid pickups. You've got Clay Holmes, who can be a little bit of a roll of the dice in the back half, but he's got really good stuff. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's not a great bullpen. It's not a terrible bullpen. Miguel Castro is someone that can be a little bit all over the place, and Joe Mantiply, we do need to see him get back to that all-star form from a few seasons ago, but I like Ryan Thompson. I like also Kyle Nelson. Scott Mago was a little bit unlucky last season. I expect a bounce back there. And this Arizona Diamondbacks team has really done a nice job being able to put bat to ball. And this has been with having Corbin Carroll having a little bit of a rough start to the season. You have Christian Walker, who's been able to do a nice job providing this team with a trio of bombs already. He's doing a really good job of being a reach base. Lourdes Gurriel, Keitar Marte of the Marte Parte, along with Walker, all have at least 7 hits already thus far this season. And in the case of Lourdes Gurriel, he's already driven in 10 runs. He has been incredible. Now, some of these numbers are a little bit inflated by the fact that they played against the Colorado Stinkin' Rockies to begin the season, but and Eugenio Suarez is doing a much better job of being a reach base than he did with Seattle. Like I said, if you can get Corbin Carroll going, then you're really looking at something. But they pick up Jack Peterson as well to be able to help out this lineup, and then we've got Oswaldo Cabrera, who's already got multiple home runs for the New York Yankees. He has been a nice upside guy for the team. Juan Soto just does a nice job of being able to provide the team with someone that you know that is going to be able to get on base. Aaron Judge has actually had a little bit of a rough start to the season. You notice that as well when he had his record-breaking 2022 campaign. He actually did not have a home run for the first 6 or so games of the season. You've got Anthony Volpe doing a solid job moving the line. It's actually a lot of the bottom guys that are doing a good job. Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, they've had rough starts to the season, and I do think Ethan Merrill Kelly going to be able to go out there, going to be able to deal a relatively solid start. And I just don't know if Carlos Rodon is fully back. So here on an 8.5 to a 9, I like the underside by total at a 9.1. And with the Diamondbacks, made them a minus 127 favorite. So trust in the Saints and the over. And we wrap things up with 9.29, 9.30 on the betting board. The New York Mets playoffs to the Detroit Tigers. Casey Mize goes for the Tigers. Adrian Dolcom Doogie Howser is on the bump for the Metropolitans. The total on this game, it is 7. The over and the under are anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. Seeing some minus 120s pop up as well. The over is anywhere between even money to minus 115. And I did shade down my total a little bit more because of the fact that you got some added rest for the bullpen. But I do think that a 7 is a little bit too low here. I personally set my total at a 7.4. So here at the 7, I do like this total over. But with the New York Mets, I can only set them as a minus 113 favorite. So being able to get the plus number that we're getting on the Detroit Tigers, I do like them on the money line. And personally, I think that the Detroit Tigers actually benefit a little bit more from the day off that we got yesterday, because the Detroit Tigers might need to utilize their bullpen just a little bit more. With Casey Mize coming off of Tommy John surgery, with him not being able to pitch really at all last season, and Casey Mize, when he was at the big league level a few seasons ago, he was able to do a relatively solid job of just being able to produce in general, miss all of 2023, which was very unfortunate, but I do think that he's got a lot of upside. His command was a little bit all over the place when he got his shot at the big league level a few seasons ago, but I liked what I saw from him in spring training, was working on a few things, and it just felt like it was really coming back into form. Meanwhile, for Adrian Houser, he did a nice job of being able to reduce on the walks last season with the Milwaukee Brewers, but always had my question marks with him, as he throughout his career has never been a high strikeout guy. He only gave you about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings a season ago. Was always someone that had his issues when he pitched away from Milwaukee as well. So we shall see how he does in New York, which is a pretty pitcher-friendly ballpark. And he goes up against the Tigers team that's not necessarily ripping the cover off the ball. Javi Baez has been a big giant waste of money. Riley Green, I think, is going to pick it up. But he, Parker Meadows, are a pair of guys hitting below a $1.50 right now. But Kerry Carpenter, he's already got a home run. He was really good towards back half of last season. It looks like he's in for a big year this year. Spencer Torkelson started out slow last year. He's starting out slow once again this year, but I think the power is going to come along for him. And Mark Canna, the former Met, he has really been a nice constant for this team and was a much-needed veteran in this lineup. Meanwhile, for the New York Mets, really nobody outside of Francisco Alvarez and Pete Alonso are hitting for this team. Both of these guys have a home run. Alonso finding a way to be able to get on base, and Alvarez is sitting above 400. He did have Starling Marte in the debut game against the Milwaukee Brewers hit a home run. He's been able to move the line a little bit, but Jeff McNeil right now looks like a shell of himself. Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo are both 1-for-16. They have been lost at the plate for about a year now. Harrison Bader just has not lived up to his billing the last few seasons ever since being a part of the Jordan Montgomery trade. And for the Mets, the bullpen is not bad, especially now that you get Edwin Diaz back in the fold, or a Lopez, though. Got my question marks here along Jake Diekman. They have been very, very volatile pitchers in the last few years, to say the least. I like Brooks Raley at the back half of the bullpen, and Michael Tonkin, he did not have a good day a few days ago, but all in all, I do like him as a bit more of a long guy. But this is actually a pretty rock-solid Tigers bullpen in their own right. Will Vest, along with Jason Foley, Andrew Chafin, these are guys that are able to come in, are able to give you some solid innings. They pick up Shelby Miller, who was actually really good out of the bullpen for the Dodgers last season. Completed or failure of a starter, but relatively good out of the bullpen. Alex Lang is someone they like as well, so I do think that the Tigers provide a little bit of value. I just have my question marks with Adrian Houser coming over to the Mets, and for the Mets, they haven't provided a lot of offense, but I take a look at this spot. A total of 7 just feels a little bit low, even though we are going to be having some weather out there in New York, especially with the command issues that both of these guys might have, so I do like this total over, and with the Tigers at a plus 113 or higher, mostly seeing plus 115, one ride with them on the money line, and that'll wrap things up for the Wednesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Sean Zerillo over at Action Network for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, the Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is by Twitter /XTimeline at GNNR41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way, that is fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. And that means I'm with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.